From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And then in verse 18, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the word of God for us, the people of God, thanks be to God, and you may be seated. And let us pray. Holy and gracious God, indeed our souls are much like soil, and you seek, Almighty God, to root in us your love and your life. Yet, Almighty God, sometimes we are not careful in the cultivation of our souls and therefore are not receptive to your word. We would pray this day, O God, that you would break open, turn over, compost, add nutrients, help our souls to be rich soil for you to do good work. So come, Holy Spirit, and do that which is beyond our own abilities, but by your grace is possible, we pray. Amen. So I begin this morning with you with a confession. I do not have a green thumb. I wish I did. Oh, I so wish I did, but I don't. Which is really odd, considering in the gene pool, I come from a whole family of gardeners that can bring forth a mighty harvest. Two grandfathers who were prize-winning gardeners. And I don't mean just like a neighborhood association. I mean like citywide garden clubs, statewide prize-winning gardeners. I was even thinking this week, I don't think I ate a store-bought vegetable until my adult years. They brought forth such a harvest from their gardens, we were able to freeze them, and then that was what was on the bounty of our table growing up. I thought a lot this week, I can't name a time in my adulthood that I cultivated the ground, threw in some seed, and something came to harvest. I don't know how it skipped me, but it just did. And for a lot of times in my life, I had a lot of excuses. Oh, there was too much sun, too much rain. The varmints got hold of it. We lived for a while where there were rabbits and deers, ate everything up. Oh, I bought bad seeds. I had a whole list of excuses. They were good ones, too. But then when my grandmother died, we were walking the property, and my dad and I, and got down to where my grandfather had had his garden, a prize-winning garden. And we stood there for a while as my father reminisced, and he said something that I don't think he realized what he was saying, but it caught me, it stopped me in my tracks. He said, "You know, I can't remember a day when my father wasn't down here doing something in this garden." And I thought, well, sure, like during the growing season, you got to pay a lot of attention to a garden. I get that. No. Like in season and out of season, he was down here doing something in this garden. Oftentimes when nothing was growing, but tending to the soil, that it would then be ready to bear forth a great harvest. And I thought, now there is something. All I've ever done is scratch at the ground and throw some seed and walk away. You're telling me you got to work on this all the time? Maybe that's been my problem. So I thought this morning we might do a little bit of an experiment together. Pastor Kristen was so helpful this week to help me gather up some visual aids. My kids are really into science experiments at the moment, so I thought, hey, what a better place than in worship in front of a live studio audience for us to do a science experiment together. So I got together some soil samples. I got this hardened path, this paver that we walk upon, put down in our gardens, hard as a rock and heavy too. So that's soil experiment number one. We've got number two here, rocks. It's got a little bit of soil mixed down in there, but mostly hard rocks. That's soil sample number two. Oh, this is a hot mess right here. Soil sample number three, got loose gravel, some little bit of soil on the top, and then we've got sticks and ivy and weeds. That's experiment number three. Oh, and then we got the good stuff right here. I think this is Miracle-Gro. Full of nutrients and fertilizers. This is the good stuff right here. Now, I brought along some seeds. I thought we might be able to think about sowing these seeds together in each one of these services. So let's see what happens when we put some seed onto this soil sample number one. Well, that's not good. Let's try that again. See what happens here. I'm going to start at the top. Hopefully it'll stick. Nope. All right, that's sample number one. Let's see what happens in sample number two. All right, we'll put some in there. Do my best Vanna White here. Get on this side. We'll put some in here. All right, and then some in container number four. Okay, we're kind enough to bring along some water. I know you have to do water. I'm not even that. I get that much. So we're going to pour a little bit of water here on soil sample number one. Ooh. All right. We'll put some in number two. All right. Number three. And in number four. Now, after worship, we'll go put this outside in a nice sunny spot of y'all's choosing, and we can wait and see what happens. Now, one, two, three, or four, don't call out loud, just think to yourself. Which one of these do you think is going to bring forth the greatest harvest? Just think. All right, now, I got to be honest. I didn't come up with this experiment on my own. I used the case method this week. You familiar with the case method? It's a really scientific one. Hold your breath. Copy and steal everything. Sounds really smart, though, when you're like, yeah, I use the case method. So who did I steal this illustration from? None other than the greatest preacher ever. Jesus, the Christ, who in our text this morning we hear gathers together a great crowd. It's such a numerous crowd that he actually has to get out on a boat, get away from shore to be able to talk to everybody that's there. And he begins to tell a parable, and he talks about soil conditions. He talks about a hardened path, some rocky soil, thorns and weeds, and then the good soil. He talks about a sower who sows the seed. He tells this wonderful parable. And when he gets done, how does the crowd react? It's like when I use an illustration, you're all like, what? Where's he going with this? Jesus tells this great parable, and they're like, I don't get it. So they go to the disciples, and they say, we don't understand. Who's the sower? What's the seed? Who is the soil? What is he talking about? And the disciples have to go to Jesus and go, psst, they don't get it. Like, you're the best in everything, but they don't get it. So then he has to actually try explaining it to them, and you heard that. And the second part that we read, he goes along and he says, well, the sower is God, who's casting seed all day, every day, generous seed being sown all around. And he talks about how the seed itself is the word of God. That is the good news made known in Jesus Christ, life and salvation, being sown every day, everywhere. And then that the soils, the four different soil types, are like our souls. Our soul condition is analogous to the soil condition, which is actually a pretty good teaching tool considering Jesus is talking to people who have to survive off of sowing and harvesting, a very agrarian society. He's thinking they will get it. Although they didn't catch it the first time, he tries to go a little deeper with the second pass. And so he starts with this hard surface like the path. And we notice when we put the soil, the seed on here, what happened? It bounces off and takes off. It doesn't stick, and the birds can come by and take hold of it. It doesn't have any ability to put down roots or germinate and bring forth anything. You ever known anybody whose soul was, don't point to your neighbor on the pew. Not confession in that way. We did that earlier already. Do you know anybody whose soul has been like this? Hardened by life, brokenness or pain or suffering, or maybe sometimes my own intellect gets in the way and doubt, and or just a refusal to let anything penetrate or get in. I was telling you about my grandfather, Williams. Well, my grandfather, Bennett, had a life-altering experience that really hardened him. I never knew my grandmother, his wife. She died before I was ever born of cancer. And he had gone from being a lay reader like Phil and a Sunday school teacher present every Sunday in church to he could not even darken the door of the church. And he became this sort of curmudgeonly, hardened soul that didn't want anything or anyone to get in. And there was no place for anything to take root or take life. That's the hardened path, the soul. You know anybody like that? Don't point to your neighbor, but we know that there are folks who that's their current condition. But then Jesus talks about a second kind of soil. This has smaller rocks, and there's some soil. There's places for the seed to get down in there, and even a little bit of soil where it could germinate and take root. And actually, in the text, talks about how it shoots forth rather quickly. But then what happens? Because there's not enough soil for it to get nutrients and take root, it withers and fades. And Jesus begins to talk about, and sort of analogous to someone maybe who comes to faith quickly, who maybe comes to a revival or a camp meeting or gets really excited at a youth event and gets fired up, hears a word and says, "Yes, Jesus, all in, I'm me, I repent, you can have my life," right? And there's this initial short burst that goes up, really excited, a beautiful emotional response. But then over time, what happens? When there's not enough attention given to the practices of the faith that develop deep and deep roots, it fades and it doesn't last. A second kind of soil. Then Jesus, for another, talks about this kind of soil that has the loose, small gravel and more soil. This is good for it to get down in and germinate and shoot up. But here, Jesus talks about there being the problem of the thorns and the weeds. So we get sort of initial germination, we get some growth, but then come along the weeds. So I was telling you about my prize-winning grandparents and their gardens. Well, my parents, who got that green thumb as well, thought they would plant a garden in their yard. And then my dad got the bright idea when I was sort of in middle school and had too much time on my hands that the garden in the backyard wasn't enough. So he went and rented an acre of land to grow a garden on. I didn't realize what was happening at the time. I wasn't smart enough. In hindsight, as a dad now, I see what he was doing. Because he sent me over to the garden every summer day to weed it in the hot sun, no shade. I couldn't go to the pool or do anything else because I was over weeding the garden. Every time I pulled a row and got the weeds and turned back around, the weeds had started over again. I spent all my time trying to keep up with the weeds because the weeds were going to choke out the nutrients of the plants that we were actually trying to grow. Think about our soul condition. Maybe we get rooted and we get some good growth. We join the life of the church. We start some of the practices. We have good experience in children and youth ministries. And we get going in life. And we've got some good roots to draw upon. But then comes life. And all of the weeds and the thorns that sort of crawl into life. We talked in the season of generosity about the kingdom of the world. And all of those things that try to vie for our attention. And they're shiny and they get us. And we are lured in. And next thing you know, they have taken and choked off our roots. They've taken up all the nutrients, and we don't flourish. Oh, but then there is the good soil, the good stuff, good and rich, nutrient-rich, good space for there to be deep roots, for the plant to come forth, for it to spread out, get water, sunlight, and there is thriving growth that happens in the good soil. I think about the soul condition of one who's deeply rooted, who practices prayer and worship, who's generous with their resources, time, talent, and treasure, who serves others, and over a lifetime of formation, of repeatedly digging into the Word of God, a daily rhythm of prayer. And it may seem just little bits at a time, and what good is this really doing? Why do I do this every day, every Sunday? What is this really all about? But what it's really doing is putting down those deep roots, wide and deep, that will allow us to survive come what may in life. So we have four soil samples, very distinct and different. We've seen the seed and the water, sunlight. And if it's analogous to our soul's condition, I wonder this morning which one of these soil conditions best describes your soul's condition. Are you like this hardened path? Are you more this rocky soil? Maybe the weeds have come in and choked out the good that was once there, or are you the good soil? As you think about which one represents your soul at the moment, I want to remind you of a couple of things. One, that our soul conditions can change. Sometimes in life we're in this place. I think about some of those biblical characters like the disciples. Boy, there were moments when they were as hard-headed and hard-hearted as anyone, right? And yet we see other moments where the grace of God gets hold of them and they try some of the practices of faith and they exhibit pretty good soul conditions. You think about Saul, who starts out completely against the movement of Christ, and we see where he is at the end of his life. So our conditions can change. That's good news. I mean, if you're saying today, man, I'm kind of like this, well, the good news is you can be that with some work and transformation and the Spirit working in your life. Standing out there in the garden with my father that day, the light bulb went off. Not just about the work that would need to be done if I ever wanted to actually grow something in the ground and have it to produce, but that the same might be true as it relates to the condition of my soul. That all day long, every day, God is sowing seed. God is pouring out grace upon grace. God is inviting me to the life that really is life. God has wanted me to know a joy that is beyond anything else this world can offer. You know, sometimes we think God goes away, or God's distant, or people tell me I can't find God. Friends, this parable reminds us God hasn't gone anywhere. God is as close as our next breath. God is right here, and God is sowing all day long, generously. And God is sowing in all of these soil conditions, all of these soil types. The question is, are we in a position to receive it? Is our soul and cultivate it in a way that it can take root and bring forth fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control? Are we in a place to be receptive to the Word of God? And if a gardener has to spend that kind of time and energy and effort to keep the soil ready, maybe as followers of Christ, we need to put in that kind of energy and effort to keep our souls ready. What would those things look like? A prayer practice. A daily, rich, deep prayer practice. If you don't have one, we've got resources that we can offer and help you cultivate that. But that's just that slow work of tinkering away at this hard surface, just drip by drip by drip, permeating, getting in a prayer practice. Worship life, something amazing. You may come Sunday in and Sunday out and think, well, okay, where are we getting? What's going? But it is slowly forming us. The liturgy, the Word of God is shaping us to be more and more hospitable to the Word of God. It's amazing how when we serve someone else, how we are benefited. We see in them the face of Christ and our lives begin to change. Something begins to break open in us. That hardness opens up and we become vulnerable. We see and have empathy. That changes us, makes us more hospitable to the Word of God. What kind of practices are you doing to cultivate your soul to be receptive to the Word of God? The good news is God is always sowing. And I want to invite you to get your hands dirty. Mama told me you weren't supposed to get dirty. As pastor, I'm telling you, get deep and dirty. Get down in there. Break open the soil. Let those practices make you ready. And if you're wondering, well, that sounds hard. Why would I go to all that effort? Let me say this. I have a deep privilege in this holy work. Pastor Suzanne and Pastor Kristen do as well. To come alongside people at various stages and places of life. We get to come along when people are experiencing the deepest joys of their life and celebrate. And what a gift that is when a child is born, to marry a couple, to watch people who are thriving and finding deep joy and service in life. What a gift to come alongside people, watching them using their gifts and graces. But we also are invited into sacred places when people are experiencing the worst that can happen in this life. When the storms of life are raging, when brokenness comes our way, when hardship, when the unexpected, when that which we could have never imagined, the worst thing ever. And it's amazing to me, as I walk alongside families and people, that their soul condition makes all the difference in how they handle, respond to, react, make it through those difficulties in life. When someone has spent a lifetime cultivating this kind of soul, this kind of soil, then the wind can blow and the storms can rain and the lightning can strike and the sun can scorch. And there is such a deep and vital and rich root system there. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm not saying there's not moments of pain and brokenness. Of sure, we're human. We feel that pain. We cry our tears. But it doesn't shatter us into pieces. It doesn't scorch us that we wither. We thrive and we survive and we move through to see God's glory in a new day. I'm amazed when I walk alongside folks who it's obvious they have spent a lifetime with the practices of the faith, cultivating how they thrive and survive. My children talk a lot about the things that they have to do. They have to take out the trash. They have to make their beds. They have to clean up the dishes. And they make it sound like they're having to do all these horrible things. I've been trying to introduce lately the language of getting to. Wow. We get to take out the trash, which means our house is clean and doesn't smell bad. We get to clean our dishes, which means they'll be ready and available the next time we're ready to eat a meal. We get to make up our beds, which means they'll be ready and comfortable for us to sleep in when we come home tonight. Sometimes I think we've associated these prayer practices, these worship invitations, the opportunity to give, the prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness, these disciplines of the faith with these have-tos. And we associate guilt with them. I have to go to church today. Oh, I gotta pray. Oh, I gotta go serve. Or if I don't, I'm gonna, oh, God's gonna be mad. We get to do these things. And in getting to do them, we are cultivating a deep and rich life that when whatever comes, we will flourish. So don't come to church because you feel like you have to. Don't give, I said that earlier, because you think the church needs the money. Don't serve because you feel guilty that you have to do it. Understand that it's these practices that are cultivating a soul that will be receptive to the word of God that is being sowed all day long, every day. You see the difference? You hear the difference? So I'm going to ask, circle back and finish it out. Which one of these do you think is going to bring forth the best harvest? One, two, three, or four? My work here is done. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thanks be to God. Amen.